Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And on the fan hotline right now, Stephen J. Nesbitt of The Athletic. Stephen, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I thoroughly enjoyed the PNC Park story that you wrote earlier today, published several hours ago on The Athletic. For people that don't know, you wrote about, and I encourage people to go sign up, by the way, because it's worth it, as are many other stories. Not most of Gentile's, not really, but we'll get to that later. But how did this come about? For people that are unaware of what might be going on at The Athletic right now, how did this particular subject, sort of the history behind and some of the near misses as far as the development of PNC Park, come about?
Yeah, so first off, I love PNC. I'm from Michigan, so I know sort of the concrete confines of Comerica Park, and it is an absolute blast to be here in Pittsburgh, where I get to work out of PNC Park a lot of days in the summer. And honestly, this idea came for me when the aforementioned Sean Gentile, he wrote about the story of the Penguins, like Pittsburgh Pigeon logo, two months back. And it was so much fun to look at the old renderings of terrible design ideas that, had a brief shelf life and got a quick look and then were tossed out the window. And what I thought was, let's go see if they have some of these for this, for PNC Park, this beautiful ballpark, one of the best in baseball. I want to see ways they could have screwed this up, to be honest. I was like, I want to go see what type of things they could have done that were tossed out along the way that they're thanking their lucky stars that they made that decision. And so that was what sort of led me in that direction. And I got a hold of the architects who were in charge of the plan, as well as Steve Greenberg, who ran the whole thing from the Pirates perspective. And they had some pretty good stories of things that they wanted that eventually didn't get pushed through.
Stephen, what was like the number one thing that was on the drawing board that got left on the drawing board and is not part of the current ballpark setup today that you think is the best qualifies as like a good miss here? Good thing it's not around.
Yeah, addition by subtraction. I think I have to go with the pirate ship. So again, not being from here, this floored me. I was digging through old newspaper archives at some point about 3 weeks ago and couldn't believe that this plan for, a 50 by 70 by 20 pirate ship, a bright red, was supposed to be right on the Allegheny River. It was going to be a kid's zone. I get that. Kids, they can use some exciting play area. But, like, putting that right on the river, I thought, whoever thought that was a good idea, I thought it would have been tossed out immediately as, like, no. We're making a beautiful limestone ballpark. We're not going to put this gaudy ship right by the Allegheny. And it was so much fun to dig through day by day in the newspapers and see people getting so upset about it. And then also seeing that it got approved. It got approved all the way to the stage where they were just looking for a corporate sponsor. And then, according to Greenberg, at least, it was the Arts Council kind of spiked the idea in the end. But it got it got past more people than I would have imagined. And the mayor was behind it and everything. So the pirate ship, I have to say, would probably be the biggest difference and probably be an eyesore, even if the kids loved it.
Stephen J. Nesbitt of The Athletic joining us here on the PM team. So going back through those old papers now, I'm assuming you were reading like letters to the editor, correct?
Yes.
So,
yes.
So we live in the hypercharged, completely insane world of Twitter, Facebook comments. Like, you want to see cross sections of the world you thought, or the country you thought never existed, or whatever, viewpoints you probably thought you'd never see outside of like 4chan or wherever. How bad were the letters to the editor back then? Do you feel like the discourse has gone downhill since 2000 or so, when people were writing in to bitch and moan about this?
Yeah, it's just a different way of getting your point across back in those days. The beauty of those, they keep them so short, is like you can't make a Twitter thread for your editor, letter to the editor. Like, it's got to be pretty brief, a couple hundred words. And what you saw was, in like the day or two after this pirate ship plan was announced, there was just a deluge of people with the same take. It was all like, this is terrible, this is horrible, please don't do this. And so they kind of immediately kind of pulled back and were like, never mind, we'll rethink this. And ended up, you know, submitting a different plan. But my favorite thing was, you get a little farther away from the initial announcement and you get people who like actually are kind of cool with it. And there's this one guy who was like, you know what? Well, I think you should make it even bigger. Make it a Hard Rock Cafe, put it in the water, and let's really do this big. And I was like, dude, those are the people who, you know, they need another week to get to formulate their plan. But boy, they have some ideas that I think we should really dive into. No kids area. Let's turn this into a Hard Rock Cafe.
I think those people ended up maturing and becoming callers to my late night show circa 2011. I think, at least.
Yeah, that tracks.
So one of the other things, last one on the ballpark, and I really love this piece. You should go read it. Go to The Athletic, Stephen J. Nesbitt. It's a kind of the history sort of how certain parts of PNC Park came to be and how it is what it is and not something else. The one thing about the park, and I remember going to Three River Stadium as a kid, but I never really thought about the city or actually where it was. I wasn't like consciously taking, you know, all of that in. I cannot imagine PNC Park, Stephen, being anywhere but where it is. Like, as far as its proximity to the skyline, the way it opens up, everything else. It just seems like it was always meant to be in that spot on the North Shore. Was that a slam dunk, or were there other spots that got any kind of serious run in consideration?
Yeah, there definitely were a couple. So what's interesting about that spot where it ends up being is that Mayor Maslov, in the announcement of Clemente Field in 91, which immediately gets thrown out. People say, no, we're not, you know, putting a new ballpark right beside Three Rivers. Then that was right where Mayor Maslov had wanted it, right at the foot of the 6th Street Bridge. And so they knew, I think, from the beginning that was a pretty good spot for it once the Steelers and Pirates were both on board with moving somewhere and getting new stadiums. And so they did end up putting 11 different potential sites together around the city. And I was able to track down two of them, which I thought were really interesting. One of them was sort of between the convention center and the Strip District, right on the south side of the Allegheny River, which apparently was one of the more likely options. This is not one that they tossed out immediately. This was one where they thought there was definitely the space there. It's a bunch of parking lots. And they took that one into real consideration. It would obviously be pointing probably in a different direction because it doesn't really show the skyline very well if you face the water. So the other one I thought was incredibly interesting. If you look really closely on Google Maps, right at the U.S. Steel Tower, we're talking right downtown. Like, we're right in the heart of it on Grant Street. There's a little plot of land, like a little park and some streets, and they were – for a little while talking about putting it right there. It would have very much like a Petco Park feel in San Diego, where it's like it is in the middle of downtown. And they thought they could do it because they only needed about 13 acres for the ballpark. And so they considered it for a little while and ended up not doing it. But I thought, boy, that would be wildly terrible for parking.
Yes.
and pretty exciting to be right in the heart of the city.
Yes to both of those things. Stephen J. Nesbitt of The Athletic, a couple more minutes with him here on the PM team. I wanted to shift here briefly just to your thoughts on not so much the Pirates here, really. They've had a couple positive tests, but really baseball at large. Like, if you listen to our sports updates or you're just reading things, man, it is, I don't know, am I right to be alarmed at how poorly run so far some of this seems? Like, the Angels have a testing crew just no-show them. Teams are having to cancel stuff. Like, I think we all expected a degree of positive results, but if I'm looking at the sport right now, it feels like they are going slapdash down the road, just trying not to – they're trying to stay within the lines and going at a very high speed without much control.
100%. There was – absolutely optimism last week when they announced the first set of results. They had 31 guys, I believe it was, who were positive. It was 1.2%. You anticipate maybe those numbers will go up a little bit because they weren't able to probably get everybody to quarantine immediately. But this week has been a mess for them. So we have, first off, we have the announcement coming that, oh, by the time they release those results, not everybody's results were in. Almost every team had pending results when they announced that there are 31 players. So there could well be more than that. And we're still waiting on some of those results. And then it gets even worse today when we find out that multiple teams are having to shut down their training camp, which they just opened and just got full squad workouts going, because they don't have results back. It's not like there's an outbreak. It's just that they don't know yet, because something about the holiday weekend, FedEx was shut down, the backup courier wasn't able to get the stuff out to the samples out to Utah. And now we're in a spot where the players are upset, the coaches are upset, and there's not really anything that specific teams can do, because they just need to get these samples out to Utah to get tested. And it really does feel pretty slapdash. Just thinking back a couple months, we're like, if they're going to get this baseball season going, I said you've got to be able to have instant testing. Of course, 3 months ago, I didn't know what that actually meant. And their plan is to test guys every 2 days or so, every 2 or 3 days, but it still takes 2 or 3 days to get those results back. I don't think that's good enough. It seems like hockey has something that's a little bit quicker. They're able to get next-day stuff. I just feel like they're going to have so much trouble controlling this. If you're only going to be testing, every 3 days, say, and if it takes another 2 or 3 days to get those tests back, there's a lot of room for big mistakes to be made.
How on earth does hockey have a better setup than they do? Hockey has less money. Like, that blows my mind that a league that is just so awash in cash has a less sound setup for this than the league that, granted, everybody here in Pittsburgh or like in Detroit or Boston, people like hockey, but is a pale imitation of Major League Baseball as far as financial clout. That bends my brain, honestly.
Oh, I know. And baseball is the one that should have the easiest route to getting on board, right? We don't have to play inside. You don't have to really be that close to other players. And I don't know how they've quite messed it up this badly this early. Well, you have hockey, I think, is basically going to go quarantine itself in Canada. Good for them, you know, makes sense. Hopefully they can get the rest of the year in. But baseball, man, it seems so unlikely to me that they actually fit in 60 games, but they're going to give it a go, I guess.
Stephen J. Nesbitt of The Athletic. Go check out his story on PNC Park. There's even one little nugget that, embarrassingly enough, until 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago maybe, I hadn't thought of one single time in the 19-year history of PNC Park as being like an oversight by the people who designed this place. I'll let you find that in the story. It's a really good one. And I'm still embarrassed that I haven't thought of this until today. Steven, thanks, man. We appreciate you coming on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.